to Expounded Universe, Season 7, Episode 7, The Dozen and Two Avengers, Endgame. The book, Vector Prime by R.A. Salvatore. The year, 1999, Chapters 13 and 14. With your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go!
So you're saying that Luke Skywalker is extorting the New Republic. Also, the fact that they named it with her last name and the name, that's tacky.
I shitted and farted and came.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jeff, and there's another one of your hosts right over there, John.
Oh no, lurking in the shadows, it's John!
Off the top rope!
Oh my god, that's John's music!
What would that be? Superstitious? Was that if you had to pick a?
If someone else was picking it, it would probably be like Baby Elephant Walk.
It'd be that fat guy tuba thing from Family Guy.
I'm a glandular condition.
Yeah, but if you were picking it, it'd be superstitious, right? Yeah, because you could walk in and do finger guns.
I mean, that would be my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then I'd have my finishing move, the book about ghosts.
I'm trying to figure out what the song I would have for my entrance music be if someone else picked it. It'd be something about how I'm not supposed to be there. It'd be like, there's got to be a song out there that's like, hey, you shouldn't be here, idiot. And it'd be that. Come a little bit closer, I think, would be my, that'd be the song I'd be playing. Because by the end, I should be running so far away. So, anyway, John, how are you?
I am so good and so ready to talk about these chapters with the plot
thickens.
It thickens. It's like a rich, meaty stew now.
Someone poured some cornstarch in the plot because it gums up real good right around here.
Yeah, we get right into the business there at the first chapter with Kip Duron.
Yeah, Kip Duron. Oh, well, sort of. We're all up in Kip's head, which is a gross place to be. And you know what? The book more or less is aware of that.
God, I love that when we start with Kip Duron, he's just thinking about like, oh man, I want to be famous and a cool badass, and I hope those Solo kids join me so I'll be more famous.
Yeah, the title of the first chapter is Minus 13, which makes sense by the end of the chapter, just kind of brutal.
Yeah.
So it turns out that Kip Duron, like we've mentioned previously, is currently the head of the Dozen Plus Two Avengers. The Dozen and Two, which is 14 various fighter ships that fly around stopping smugglers. And his goal for this unit is to become super famous. In fact, he's almost a little worried that he'll never quite get as famous as Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, I look out at my squad and we're all very good and we can all anticipate each other's moves and, you know, we're pretty badass.
Yeah.
But, I don't know that we'll ever get the same kind of recognition and have the people, like, cowering if we show up like Rogue Squadron does.
No, and you shouldn't. Wedge Antilles flew into a Death Star.
And out.
And then he flew back out. I don't care how many smugglers you blow up on their shitty old skip ray blast boats and shit. You are never going to even get within range of sniffing Wedge Antilles' cock.
But I hate Kip Duron so much.
I hate Kip Duron.
So,
bring me my lightsaber, Smee.
He's very kind of sniffing his own farts in his canopy here as they're flying along looking for shit to do. They're just out there flying around looking for trouble.
And I also love that when he's thinking about like, oh, you know, it would be great if like even one of the Solo kids were to join me because that would give me way more like notoriety and name recognition. But then he has that bit where he's talking about if Jaina joined. He's like, I don't know. She's way better than me at being a pilot. Maybe I'd have to contend with her for leadership.
Yeah, he's basically concocting an elaborate fantasy scenario in his head. Like you do whenever you go for a long walk and you see a nice house and you're like,
go for a long walk.
Yeah, oh, well, not you. whenever anyone else in the world goes for a nice long walk and they see like a millionaire style mansion, and they're like, ooh, if I had $1 billion, what would I do with it? And he's just sitting in his cockpit doing that. Well, when all three of the Solo kids join the Dozen Plus Two, I'll have to change the name to the Dozen Plus Five.
Yeah.
Five Jedi and 12, and he literally uses the term, five Jedi and 12 normals.
Yeah.
I think he might say regulars, but which is almost worse.
And 12 of these regular guys.
Five real Jedi and 12 nopes.
And 12 also rans.
Future corpses, we call them.
Ugh.
Well, when I get all of them on my team, then I'll be famous. But what if I can't get all of them on my team? I'm going to have to think about the name change. And yeah, what if Jaina's still a better pilot than me? I could try that stupid fun time amusement park's TIE fighter ride for forever and never get close to that score.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't. She beat the Christ out of you.
She more than doubled his score. But then again, that game is super random. Like, when we really talk about the asteroid field, they aren't controlling the asteroids in any way.
No.
The run's never the same run twice.
Well, yeah.
Someone could just get super lucky. You just park the ship and just get missed the whole time.
You gotta move forward.
Oh, that's right. You actually have to go forward. Whatever. It's still a randomized run.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea that he's just like, I can't beat her time, and I'll never even try. I'll just have to fight her for leadership within my own squad. That's the ticket.
And then he starts thinking about, like, you know, I've only got one other Jedi in here, Miko Reglia, but Miko doesn't want to fight me for leadership.
Miko doesn't even want to be in the squadron. Miko's goal is just to finish his tutelage under this pompous jerk-off and then quit and go do Jedi stuff somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. He's like, look, I was at the academy. I got assigned Kip Duron, which means I drew the short straw.
Yeah. I don't understand why Kip's squadron isn't 10 times more famous than Rogue Squadron already anyway. This is like if Hitler survived World War II and then got given a fighter squadron to do whatever he wanted with. And he's like, oh, maybe I could get a Solo kid to join my team. That'd bring us some notoriety. Or the fact that I'm the biggest genocider in Star Wars. I'm one of those.
You know.
And I got off scot-free because Luke's my uncle. Sort of. Ish. He's like my uncle dad, kind of, but not really.
Oh, my uncle dad.
He's my uncle dad, but not in blood.
I'm my own grandpa.
Yeah, that's... You'd think that would be some notoriety for this squadron. No, it's the leader of the squadron's the guy that blew up a star.
Yeah, man.
It's been 2 years. That's what happened. He got me too'd for a little while, and then 2 years went by, and he was like, hey, me still famous, maybe? And everyone was like, aw, don't be mean to him. He's trying to come back.
He's sorry.
He's never going to say he's sorry, but me, a pundit on Twitter, will say he said he's sorry.
I talked privately with Kip Duron, and he expressed in tears how sorry he was.
He was always very nice to me. I'm willing to discount the actual accounts of trillions of dead people because he was nice to me once in a green room.
I've never seen him blow up a star.
Kip Duron sucks.
So he is out here to find his buoy that he left that is just sort of a smuggler finder.
Yeah, his whole thing is basically just that he's out here chasing smugglers because there's literally nothing else to do if you're trying to be a badass law enforcer Jedi.
Which is weird because you'd think, aren't there more like shitty wannabe emperor things out there? Like,
yeah, but
it
those
seems
are,
like every
those are,
year there's somebody who's like, we're the new empire.
I guarantee you he is forbidden from going after them because the last time. They're like, oh, no. We're
you have a restraining order on new empire dudes.
No going near empire folks for you, buddy. We have to try and stop them, not completely vaporize their entire star system. Oh, come on. I won't do that again. It's real hard for me to get the Sun Crusher every time I want to. I got to ask Lando for it. I mean, I don't understand why Lando even lets him land on Dubrillion, which is that's the name of the planet, the asteroid
yes.
field. This dude is nothing but a hunter of smugglers now, and Dubrillion is nothing but a hub for smugglers and an amusement park ride, and yet the Dozen Plus Two calls it their home base? What are we doing?
Yeah, it's...
How are they not walking out to their ships and they're covered in teepee and shit?
Like, I don't understand. And he mentions, like, oh, we can't go after anyone that shows up near Lando's, because Lando would basically just call Luke or Han and be like, get this asshole out of here.
Yeah, no, he'd... But right now, there's some sort of uneasy truce happening where even though all he does all day long, every day, is hunt smugglers in Lando's vicinity, he uses Lando's house for his home base.
Yeah, it's real dumb.
None of this adds up.
But he goes out to his little smuggle buoy, and his astromech droid is like, all right, let me just fast forward through the boring bits of what happened in this sector. And, mm-hmm. you know, he sees some stuff that shows up, but anytime it's like, oh, and then it heads towards, like, Dubrillion or whatever, he's like, well, fuck, I can't go after that guy.
Yeah, because he went to Dubrillion, he's off my list. And then finally they get a note that's like, hey, a weird spacecaster ship left from the planet Belkadan, headed towards the planet Helska, and then it sent out a distress call and vanished.
And I was like, oh, can we get any sort of... like read on what their message was. It was like, oh, the only thing we can tell is they said the word storm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, all right, well,
X-Men are obviously attacking the planet.
Obviously.
Aurora Monroe has descended upon Belkanan. Oh, he's like, wait, you can only get the word storm? That's a bullshit magic mechanic. That one's good. There's a reason they never use it anymore. It's almost as bad as Cascade. Whatever happened on Belkadan is best just sealed off.
It stays on Belkadan.
Now, what's going on Sir Napalap or whatever? Oh, that one's only got a problem with Cypher. Let's go there. No, he's like, all right, well, I can't go to Belkadan and help with a storm. All I have is fighter pilots. So I'll put out a help call for the general kind of Republic.
Yeah, because he's like, I don't know if it's a storm and... like, these are the only survivors, or if something else was going on, he's like, whatever, I'll go send out a general distress of, hey, Belkadan could use some help, there's probably a storm there.
In the meantime, let's head over to the Helska system to see if we can find that old spacecaster shuttle.
Yeah, because we lost its signal, so it might have crashed, we gotta go check for survivors.
Mm-hmm. By the way, when anything, every time this squadron is described as flying, they're, like, constantly doing Blue Angel shit.
Oh, yeah, they're just like, oh, and then this guy flipped over to the left side, and then the guy on the right side flipped over, and he went to the bottom, and you're like, who cares?
What are we doing?
Why are you doing this when no one is around?
They even justify it. They say, like, oh, it's to reduce their radar signature.
Oh, yeah, if someone show up sees weird, our signature, yeah. It'll be all weird.
It shows up weird on sensors, because these guys are all doing flipsies.
This guy does a barrel roll, and all of a sudden, nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
Is there an actual barrel out there? I think that might be... we're picking up barrels on the sensor.
What is this, Niagara Falls?
So, anyway, they fly towards the Helska system, and I believe we jump from their perspective to Danny at that point for a brief
period. We jump to Luke.
Oh, we go to Luke? Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Because Luke is speeding out into the asteroid belt to save Han and Chewie, who had just recently... blown off part of their ship because they thought they had shields.
I think my favorite part right here is he's flying around. He just gets in a TIE fighter and goes.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, do I have shields? You know what? It doesn't matter. He just doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't even ask. He's just like, all right, let's go.
Let's go. And they aren't sure whether or not he even has shields. And he's like, well, you know, Han and Chewie are super good pilots. I'm sure they're going to be just fine when I finally find them. And then like a wing chunk off a TIE bomber goes by.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, that's no good.
Leia starts calling in. Hey, have you found him yet? Ooh, I gotta turn that radio
I'm
off.
I'm just going to flip that. Oh, there we go.
Okay, I don't want to think about that one.
A lot of static.
Ooh, can't hear you.
Oh, I'll call you back in just a second. I'm making a Postmates order because of how well everything's going.
Yeah, I do like that when he goes out there, Lando's like, you might have shields.
I mean, the real question is, what the fuck's he doing in a TIE fighter? If he's just going on a rescue mission, go get your X-Wing. You brought it with you.
Yeah, but that's probably stored somewhere, and these TIE fighters are ready to go.
I guess that, yeah, it's like a couple-second difference, because this TIE fighter's just sitting in the hangar.
Yeah.
All he'd have to do is move the seat back, because Jaina was in it.
Has to adjust the rear view.
Oh, yeah.
Radio settings are all messed up.
Taylor Swift all blaring out of it.
What is this, Kiss FM? Oh, God.
God damn it. How many Halsey songs do you listen to in a day?
Yeah.
But no, he gets out in a TIE fighter, he flies around, and sure enough, after some regular old flying, he finds Han and Chewie just fine, doing exactly what John predicted they'd do at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, I'm like, they're just going to fucking sit on some asteroid.
They're going to find a big asteroid park.
Yep, and indeed they did.
Uh-huh. And so he flies up to the ship to see if they're still alive, and they're clearly visible through the view screen of the ship.
Yelling at each other.
Yelling at each other and kind of slapping each other and so on. They're just their own little private Two Stooges routine.
And I do like that even at that point, Luke is like, honestly, that's fucking amazingly impressive that they managed to, without a wing, put one of these TIE fighters down safely on an asteroid. Like, just that by itself is impressive.
Oh, yeah. It is super impressive. They did an amazing job. And honestly, they're very, very good pilots, and they just got screwed by the fact the shield wasn't available because they were relying on the shield for bouncing.
Yeah. They were like, oh, we're going to use the shield.
If they had known they had no shield, then they probably would have not tried to bounce, and they would have lasted a lot longer or just quit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Luke can't do shit about this. He just found them.
He's just like, all right, well, I can radio back at least.
I mean, he's specifically in a TIE Advance, but so he's sitting there in Vader's TIE Advance. Honestly, I found it kind of weird that they got Luke into one of these and then they don't mention that.
Yeah, that this was Vader's ship, and it's like, ooh, you're sitting in your daddy's ship.
Yeah.
I mean, not the actual ship,
yeah,
but,
I mean, we've never seen another TIE Advance, at least not in the movies. They never put another one in there. In the games and so on, they're just another kind of TIE fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, really, in the storyline, usually the TIE Advance just leads to the introduction of the Interceptor and then kind of gets faded out. It was a prototype.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a bunch of them with couches.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, can you fix this? And they're like, yeah, we have secondary protocols in place for this kind of thing. We'll send a tugboat out that has the shields on it, and then we'll tug them out of there.
Yeah, because now that we've actually got our communication thing on the shield projector working, then when we drag the guys out, we can also put the shield on their TIE fighter so they don't just die.
Yeah, yeah. Notably, I love the fact that Luke tries to get Han and Chewie up on the radio, and the two of them are just doing visual comedy in response. They're just like, broken. They're holding a broken thing.
They can
thing
hear them, and they're just holding up a mic with a broken wire like, eh.
Yeah, and then Chewbacca roars, and Han goes, oh, no, my ears, like very visibly. Like, they're just straight up doing pantomime in there.
Oh, yeah. They're just putting on a show for Luke.
They're bringing vaudeville to Star Wars.
Vaudeville.
Yes, and... and they get dragged out safely, but they are very mad when they land.
Oh, yeah. Which, I mean, you kind of got to be.
Yeah. Now, do we go right to their landing, or are we moving around again?
I think they managed to come back.
Okay. So when they...
Oh, yeah, because they have to ask if they beat Moss and Twingo.
Yeah. So they come stomping in, and Chewie's doing his usual too angry for the room thing, where he's got his arms out for choking Lando and stalking towards him. And everyone else is like, no, 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 don't kill him, don't kill him, it was an accident. I'm like, come on, Chewbacca's not going to kill Lando.
If everyone got out of his way, he would get there and be like, oh, no one called my bluff, all right, well, shit.
Yeah, instead, this is a very racist moment, is what I'm trying to say here. Everyone's like, oh, no, the wild savage Wookiee will definitely pop your head free, like a grape. Oh, shoot, the Wookiee doesn't like black people. He was raised to not like Landos.
Oh, that's my father. It's not me.
Sorry. That's my father talking. I'm a progressive Wookiee. But no, of course he's not going to fucking murder Lando. He's a civilian. He's a civilian, but he's like a decorated general Wookiee with like a long history of taking very good care of his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Chewbacca.
It's Chewbacca.
You gotta respect Chewbacca.
Anytime they're like, oh, he's definitely going to kill him this time. You're like, no, he's not. He's going to get over there and cuddle him.
Yeah, give me a cup.
Just go sit in the Falcon and play Wookiee Clicker.
Fucking, when he asks if he beat Moss and Twingo, Lando's just like, well, we lost your signal at 4:41.
Which is, coincidentally, exactly Moss and Twingo's time.
Then he's just like, and we'll add 5 seconds because of the time it took to hop onto the asteroid. Please don't be mad at me. Or shut my operation down.
Also, please, no one who is in the room with us right now, report that we gave them a 5-second boost, because they would take all of the fact that this is actually a competition out of the competition. If we were like, oh, you know what, we'll just cheat because you're Han Solo, one of the generals of the New Republic. Everyone, this is totally an honorable game I'm running here.
Who cares if it's an honorable game? It's fucking Lando.
I guess that's true. He even tries to talk Luke into just staying out there. He's like, hey,
you've already been out there for a while.
Luke's like, no, I don't fucking care about any of this. This is irrelevant to me.
Fuck off, I'm out.
Yeah, so he just leaves. Everyone hails him as the big hero, but he tries to pass it off to Han and Chewie because, like, they flew around in the asteroid field without shields for a while. And Han tries to pass it off to Chewie, and he's like, I got knocked unconscious like right away, and Chewie flew the ship in.
Yeah, and when he tries to say anything, Chewie's just like, nope, it was both of us. We're both amazing pilots, and we both landed on that asteroid.
It was definitely teamwork, Harn. Harn Solo. Anyway.
Which just goes to show how good of a guy Chewie is.
Chewie is the best guy.
Yeah. He's like, I'll share the credit with Han. I don't give a shit.
And I think that's pretty much what... I don't remember, do we also now jump into Lando trying to talk them into a mission?
No, now we go to... Back to the Dozen and Two.
The Dozen and Two. By the way, it's not just the Dozen and Two, which is honestly a pretty good name for a weird fighter squadron. It's the Dozen and Two Avengers.
Yes, the Dozen and Two Avengers.
Too long.
It's too much stuff.
Too much of a name.
You got too many bits and bobbles. Pick one.
Yep, Dozen and Two was good. That was weird and interesting, and you had to take...
Just the Avengers, that's a good name.
But change it to Avenger and throw Squadron on the end of it, so you're staying inside a Star Wars convention. Come on, let's make this work, shall we? Kip, you piece of dumps.
you dump.
God, I hate him. So they're flying into the Helska system.
Yeah, they show up, and they're like, all right, we're scanning all the planets here. We got a whole bunch of nothing. There's a gas giant, so obviously they didn't land there. Like, oh, let's check out that big ball of ice. That seems like a place you could probably put down at.
Mm-hmm. And as they get near it, sure enough, here come a bunch of asteroids flying in formation.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, I'm getting some weird readings from that planet. There's a lot of energy and a lot of asteroids?
Yeah. So Kip gets one look at them, immediately figures out that they have geometric patterns hidden inside of the asteroid shapies.
Yeah, he's like, oh, they're all shaped kind of differently, but they all have very distinct patterns to them.
Those are fighter craft. Everyone break and start getting ready to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're coming at us in formation. Asteroids don't do that.
Yeah. So they get into a big old fight, and it turns out that it's really hard to kill these things because they're just made of rocks.
Oh, yeah. You shoot one, and you're just like, okay, I blasted a chunk of rock off of that thing. It doesn't care.
That said, their initial weapons can't penetrate the shields. The Republic shields are are way stronger than anything these things are shooting.
Oh, and yeah. They have those little, like, lava balls.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really matter to the shields. They're just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. These are combat shields and not just whatever the space caster had for micrometeoroid strikes.
Yeah. So Kip is like, oh, well, fuck these guys then. We have better shields. Let's just very methodically go through dismantling these motherfuckers because they can't hurt us.
Yeah, and so they do so. And sure enough, these guys are way better pilots than the Yuuzhan Vong, and they have better shields, and they're basically immune to their fire for the most part, until all of a sudden, some B-Wing reports that his shields are gone.
Yeah.
And he hadn't even been being shot at.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, shit, my shields.
And then right after that, he gets torn to chunks by the lava balls.
Yeah, he just gets, like, diced into three equal parts.
Yeah. It turns out, I mean, spoiler alert, that the Yuuzhan Vong are using their Dovin Basals again, those things.
Man, their Dovin Basals...
Too useful.
Too much stuff.
Too much stuff. Like, I know they use gravity well pulls. I didn't think shielding had anything to do with gravity wells. Apparently, whatever the fuck a Dovin Basal is, it can also just grab your shields and pull them off like so much 80s tube top.
Yeah, the fact that when he talks to Miko, he's like, it was weird. It was like I lost my shields and it felt like I was being pulled like a gravity well. And you go, that shouldn't affect you. God damn it. Have the Dovin Basals do a thing. Like the fact that you can go, oh, there's a neat trick we can do where we actually pull a moon into a planet because we're sort of twisting the method of how we use them. And you're like, all right, that's an interesting, clever way to use the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when he was like, oh, I'm going to put my Villip on this decapitated dude to make it look like I'm just there.
Yeah, that was a neat trick. That was a cool power stunt. They're kind of walking a tightrope with the Yuuzhan Vong, where they want to show off the cool technology, and you don't want to have one monstery thing that's too powerful, but you also don't want them to come across like, say, 60s Adam West Batman, where he's like, I've got bat shark repellent. Why are you carrying that? I carry everything. I carry hundreds and hundreds of things, each one of them goopier than the last.
Yeah, but that's gonna be kind of the issue when you start looking at Yuuzhan Vong's stuff, is you're like, okay, either you're gonna have a million and one weird little goop monsters to do the million and one different things you need stuff to do while you're in space and to have an actual armada.
Or you'll have a dozen and two things, and they do a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Or you have something like a Dovin Basal, which is like, oh, it's our propulsion system, and it's also a weapon, and it can strip shields, and it just does whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, the, using them to strip shields was weird, but it works, and so right away, the tide of the battle shifts. People start losing shields and then immediately getting torn to shreds by the lava balls.
By the end, Kip and one A-Wing are the only ones that are left, and he's like, we need to get the fuck out.
Miko has been torn down, by the way. Miko was the other person with a name. His ship has been forced down to the surface of the planet.
Yeah.
So the A-Wing and Kip are trying to escape, because it turns out that the ships are faster than these coral skipper things.
Oh, yeah. Like, they can outrun them, but
they just drop
the fucking weirdest, dumbest bio weapon.
Okay, so it's not even the coral skippers that do this. As they're escaping, another big rock ship shows up, like a medium weight cruiser, and it opens up the front of it, and a bunch of evil bugs fly out the front of it.
And apparently, the bugs can keep up with them for some reason. So
they're faster than them, even. I don't know if they were launched out of the ship or if it's just these bugs are ridiculously fast in space.
I mean, apparently, they're just super fast space bugs that also eat metal?
I would have kind of liked a description of their propulsion system here. Are they farting through space? How are they moving?
Yeah, because from the descriptions, it basically just sounds like
big grasshoppers.
I was gonna say pretty much like big leaf cutter ants.
Yeah, that could be too,
because they talk about their big snappy mandibles.
Yeah, they have huge snappy mandibles, and there's no description of how they're moving around in space,
but they've got, I think, four legs
four in the back and two in the front. And the A-Wing is covered with them. Right as they go to hyperspace, these bugs all land, and Kip can already tell, oh, when I come out of hyperspace, and by the way, he's not even planning to jump. He's just random jumping.
No, he's just like, just hit hyperspace. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're going to die if we don't, so even if we die doing hyperspace, whatever.
Yeah, so they jump. He can tell right away through the Force that the other pilot just didn't make it.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, that guy blew up because the bugs were already in his system when he tried to hit hyperspace.
Yeah. Now, I don't remember if we follow him to the other end of his hyperspace jump here, or if finally we go and check on Danny.
Yeah, at the end of this, we basically get, he jumps, and at the end, we can see that one of the bugs is just chewing through his canopy, and then we jump.
Yeah, okay.
And then we jump to Han.
Han,
incredulous about going to Cern Padal.
Right, Han is pissed off, because right as he comes out of Lando's death ride, Lando's like, hey, buddy, you want to fly some perfectly legitimate cargo to Cern Padal for me? For no cost, just as an old friend. It's a multi-day journey I'm asking you to do just because you showed up at random. There's no point where Han or Luke or anyone has been like, by the way, we came out here for a reason.
Yeah, there's an actual reason we're here, and we still haven't done it because everyone's been distracted by your bumper cars.
Yeah.
So maybe do that first.
We're more than halfway through the book now. It's weird that I've honestly forgotten what the hell they're doing here.
So they originally thought, and this is for you and the listeners who may have forgotten, that some of the people on the council might be in the pocket of some smugglers, or
that's right,
being like we're supporting smugglers out here for money.
Yeah. Some guy named like Gar Body Bags or whatever was like, hey, I'm definitely against voting for the Jedi Council because I'm worried that they'll take out the smuggling contacts I have. And Dubrillion is the right place to go to kind of investigate that whole situation.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, well, if we think that any of these like senators or whatever are compromised,
yeah,
we have to go find out here what their actual contacts are.
They've been on Lando's space station for four chapters now, and there hasn't been mention one of any of that.
Oh, no. This is the first time we'll actually get it mentioned right now.
Yeah, because Han's like, I don't want to go to Cern Padal. What the fuck are you talking about? Lando's
like, oh, come on, you'll be back so quickly. Who gives a shit? I am a general of the New Republic, not fucking Uber Eats.
Yeah, I don't understand why he's like, what was your plan to get all that shit to Cern Padal if we hadn't randomly showed up, Lando?
Yeah, because he's like, oh, but I'll be running at a loss if I take it out there. Well, then you shouldn't have fucking sold it in the first place.
And he's like, I have to sell it. I have to sell the stuff to Cern Padal because it's a super above the board sale.
And I have to stay above the board.
I have to stay above board, and I have to stay a certain percentage above board, or I draw a lot of attention. And this is my usual friendly run.
Ugh.
Well, get one of your smugglers to do it. I'm sure they'd love above board work.
Yeah, then they can be like, look, I went to Cernpedal and I was very legitimate. Then they could pick something up there.
I'm a legitimate business fellow. It's ridiculous. So, and Han is right to be pointing out. He's like, this is stupid. Why? What? You want me to fly cargo? And I guarantee that cargo's dirty. And Lando's like, no, it's not. Wink, wink.
Look, this is just regular ore that isn't at all illegal. Wink, wink. And there should be no problems blinking with all of the might he can.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just you and Chewie that need to go out there, drop off the stuff, and then just turn around and come back.
Oh, by the way, I just got a message. It seems like there's some sort of trouble on Belkadan. If you want to head out there while you're out at Cernpedal. And he's like, oh, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, that's too much. At that point, Leia's like, no, he's not going to Cernpedal. Luke and Mara have already agreed to go to Cernpedal because they were looking for some alone time together.
Yeah. They want some alone time, so why don't we send them to some planet on a rescue mission?
I mean, to be fair, for the Emperor's Hand and Luke, that's pretty much the right thing to do. The two of them never just sit around. And they're going to go alone because they want some alone time, and they're not even going to take the X-Wing. They're just going to go in the Jade Saber.
Yeah, and of course, Leia's like, hey, you know, while you're going, why don't you bring Anakin along and let him fly some more?
Yeah, because we're trying to smooth over the Coruscant flying incident.
He's like, ugh.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Fine.
So I have to take my worst kid and my stupid Wookiee on someone else's mission that I'm not getting paid for.
Yeah. Great. The things I do.
Yeah.
And of course, at that point, they're like, look, we came here to get some information about your smuggling shit. And I love that Lando doesn't try to go, smuggling me? He's like, oh, yeah, sure, finish this, and I don't give a fuck. I'll tell you whatever.
Yeah. It's not gonna hurt his prospects. I mean, he's already run, like, 8 other facilities that were just like this one.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
He's not exactly worried that for some reason Han's gonna be like, well, this is definitely a step too far.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone too far with your bumper car scheme here, Lando.
I mean, I hate to say it, because Lando's a very charismatic person, but he's definitely entered that too-rich-to-fail level of life, where every time his stations get blown up by random Imperials or whatever, he just gets another one.
Oh, yeah. He's like, well, it's a good thing I already took all of the money out of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, everyone who worked for me is destitute, but I'll have a new thing going.
Hey, guys, have you ever heard of off-planet accounts? They're the best.
Why didn't you guys just invest?
I've got all my money invested in the Solomon planets.
So, yeah, we get Han, Chewie, and Anakin going to Cernpedal, and Mara, Luke, and R2 going to Belkadan.
Which means that Leia and Jason and Jaina are just going to hang out on Dubrillion.
And 3PO.
Oh, and 3PO are stuck just chilling on Dubrillion, and there's not even a mention of it.
No. They're like, oh, I guess we'll just leave these guys here. All right.
Yeah. So the Jade Saber blasts off, and boy, they're like, oh, that sure is a fast ship, isn't it? Do you think Luke would give Mara anything less than the fastest ship? Money's no object. I mean, literally, we aren't aware of money as a concept. We're above that.
Yeah, I don't think you understand. We're Republic royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally.
Mm-hmm. And also, I want $50 to fly your ship to this other place. 50 American dollars.
50 U.S. and Australian dollars.
Each, please, in unmarked bills.
No markings, blank.
Wait, but you're Han Solo. You literally live in the Emperor's old house.
Like, you have too much stuff. You're like the AMPM of the New Republic.
Yeah, and I'd like a slight bit more stuff, please, Lando.
Yeah, I don't think you remember. I'm the guy who thought the best thing I could do was buy a planet for someone that I wanted to woo.
Mm-hmm.
This is the level of rich we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm.
And I gave that planet away as sort of like a wedding present. So, give me money.
Give me everything.
Then again, I did marry into a tree full of jewel-like objects of make you smarter wisdom. So, no, I'm coming out ahead.
Yes. So there you go. the Falcon and the Jade Saber both take off,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we end chapter 13.
With the most portentous sentence.
Yeah, ooh. And the Millennium Falcon took off an hour later for a one-day trip that would prove to be the most harrowing journey of Han Solo's life.
It was only supposed to be a three-hour tour.
A three-hour tour!
The millionaire and his Wookiee.
All right. Chapter 14.
It begins.
So
I don't remember where.
We jump back to Kip, who is just sort of stranded wherever the fuck he managed to jump out of hyperspace.
Oh, yeah. So he's just out in the deep ocean of space somewhere. And sure enough, he got bugs on his ship.
He's like, well, fuck. There's like a couple of bugs on me, and they are just chewing through the two worst things they could. One's trying to get through the canopy to me, and the other one is eating through my ion drive.
Yeah, he's got some bad situation bugs. So he starts launching himself.
I don't give a damn about his bad situation.
Anyway, he starts prepping to survive, essentially. So
yeah, he's getting on his life suit because he's like, there's no way I can stop this thing from getting through. So as soon as the canopy is done, I've got to be able to survive the vacuum of space.
I think my favorite part of this is when he realizes that the bug that's trying to get to his ion drive has climbed between the S-foils of his ship. So he tries to just close it on them to smush the bug.
Yeah. He closes the wings and it doesn't kill it. So he just keeps like opening and closing them on it.
Uh-huh.
He's like, come on,
squish him, squish him. But it doesn't, so eventually he just locks his S-foils in a closed position so that the bug is stuck.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while he's got his life suit on, the other bug manages to get two big pincher holes right into the canopy.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, well, fuck it. Boop!
So he presses a button that blows his canopy closed off for ejection purposes, and it knocks the bug's head kind of up because its teeth are stuck in the canopy right now.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't knock the bug off the ship. It's holding on with its other four powerful arms.
Yeah, like he looks out over the ship when he looks up from his cockpit, and he's like, motherfucker, you're still clinging to the ship?
Yeah, so he just, at this point, it just cuts its feet off with a lightsaber. And
yeah, he's like, off you go.
Yeah, and so the thing with the canopy and the bug, the most of the bug go floating off into space.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, the pincers of the fucking one that he trapped in the foils are long enough that it still kind of gets to the engine.
Yeah, so it starts chomping the engine. He kind of walks over there and stabs it in the face. Or spacewalks over there.
Yeah, you know, spacewalks.
And then the ship kind of judders and stutters because the engine's been messed with and starts rotating randomly. And he is flung off the ship briefly.
Yeah.
This is super scary if it wasn't happening to a powerful Jedi.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I lost my lightsaber. I'll just force myself back to the ship.
Okay, there we go. No problem. Everything's fine. All the fears of deep space travel are pretty much lost on me.
And sadly, he has lost his astromech droid, R5L4.
Otherwise just known as L4. Who got chewed up by one of the bugs in a sad scene at the beginning of this chapter.
Yeah, one of the bugs just sort of like burrowed down the middle of him.
Mm-hmm. So he screams and pops and fire goes off inside of him and now he's dead.
Yeah.
We hardly knew ye, L4.
But you're still better than Kip Duran.
Yeah. Now, you can tell that they've fixed this by later models in the ship, or of the droid, because this is just an L4, but by the time that they got to the R5-L7, it would only pretend it was dead. Fine. All right, anyway.
So, yeah. He is just spinning through space, trying to figure out what the fuck to do. As soon as he manages to get back,
he's like, well, I can't jump back into hyperspace. I don't have a canopy.
Yeah. He's like, well, all right. If I try to do that, I'm just going to be dead.
Mm-hmm. He tries the engines.
The engines are all fucked up and
he can only go slow and he has to keep turning the engines on and off to get them to go at all.
And at one point he's like, all right, I was going to open up these fucking S-foils and get rid of this damn bug, but then he was like, oh, wait a minute. Even if I die out here, anyone who finds me should really investigate what the fuck this bug is.
Right, so he's like, well, I'll keep it stuck in here. And then he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll go into a Jedi trance and point myself at one of the two local places. I could try to go back to Dubrillian,
or there's a more local place I could go to.
Some backwater planet. Cernpedal.
Cernpedal?
Well, that's more people heading to Cernpedal because that's where Han and Chewie were going if you hadn't remembered.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's a bunch of people heading for Cernpedal. But anyway, he just sort of puts himself back in the canopy, points the ship at Cernpedal, and goes into hyperspace. Like, there's a point where he's like, I can't go into hyperspace.
He rewires his hyperdrive to the point where he's like, all right, what I'm going to do is create shields over me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, all right, I'm basically just going to create a localized force field where the canopy was, but I can only do short jumps. So he basically goes into hyperspace for like a few seconds and then drops out and has to reset everything to get the bubble back. And he gets the bubble and he jumps again and he has to just do these short little hops.
Yeah, so he's on his way to Cernpedal in a ridiculously desperate situation.
Yeah, he's got a fucked up X-Wing. He himself is all messed up and he has lost the 13, the Baker's dozen and Avengers.
Oh, yeah. He even thinks about it for a second. He's like, oh, no, it'll take me forever to rebuild my beloved squadron.
Oh, no. Where am I going to find another Jedi and 12 dudes?
I mean, obviously, he's going to find another Jedi by just going back to the Jedi Temple.
Hey, can I get another one of those?
Hey, give me another Jedi. I lost mine.
I lost my trainee.
Yeah, don't worry. He was still under warranty. Yeah, I get a second. I paid for the extended package.
Look, I got accidental damage on my Padawan, so you had better give me a new one.
Put a Jedi in this B-Wing.
Put a Jedi in my hand.
$50.
Little man.
Some poor Padawan is pushed out. Like, I don't want to go with him. He's a genocidal maniac. Don't make... Oh, sorry. Jedi code.
Nope. There you go. Burn all you can from Kip Duran. And now we finally get to see what's going on with Danny Key.
Ah, thank you. I was trying to remember when the Danny Keith bit happened. She's stuck in a bubble.
Yeah, she's stuck in an ice dome somewhere where they've got some goo monster that creates heat in there, so she doesn't have to be in the, like, cloaker or have the starfish.
So she basically is sitting in a room full of lichen, and the lichen generates heat and light, so she can sit in there. Every once in a while, the floor bubbles open, and a couple of Eugene Vong come in, and one of them will get, like, check her while the other one provides food.
Yeah. One will be like, all right, I'm going to hold my weapon to you and make sure you don't do anything, and then I'll drop a little plate here.
Yeah, and the plate's covered with, like, alive eels, which are the food.
Yeah, they're like, here, we got some eels out of the water. Here you go.
There you go. I don't know if they're supposed to be from the planet or if they're just...
I don't know if they're fleek.
I'm sure they're purpose-driven food eels that the...
Yeah, they're very fleek eels.
Yeah, they're on fleek, that's for sure. They're definitely fleek eels. I mean, these are fresher than you'd ever find at a Menerai.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But it's weird that they only mention that the eels are alive and wriggling and so on in passing, and then there's never a mention from it again.
Yeah, I like that she is never like, oh, ew, weird wiggling eel things. She's just like, anyway, they give me some wriggly eel stuff, and I eat it because I don't care.
Because it's food, and I'm staying alive. Fuck you. What do you want? So she's stuck in there, and she has been visited on a couple of occasions by Prefect Dagara, who basically just keeps telling her things about the Eugene Vong.
Oh, yeah. He's essentially doing his best to peacock Danny Key.
Yeah.
He's like, look at my fucking Yamask. Nobody else has a Yamask, just this dude.
Mm-hmm. You guys don't even have a chance. We're going to wipe the whole species.
My dad owns a dealership of coral skippers.
You should consider signing up. Like, he's basically pitching Eugene Vong like an MLM scheme to her.
Hey, have you heard about the Eugene Vong?
Imagine if you had half the universe in your downstream.
We've got a whole new galaxy of revenue here, and you could get in on the ground floor.
None of them have heard about it. You won't have to worry about being shut down on Facebook.
How many of your old high school chums do you know? And how gullible are they?
Every one of them is a potential buyer. That's the way you have to see the world.
But yeah, he is just constantly going on about glory. He's like, oh, the glory of the Praetorite Vong and the glory of combat and the glory of Yamasks and the glory of the world ship.
I mean, we
get it.
I do kind of appreciate this about the Eugene Vong and about Danny Key's take on the Eugene Vong is, damn, these guys are really into they're really energetic about everything.
Yeah, they have not just drunk the Kool-Aid. They are creating more Kool-Aid.
They're living their best life.
They're like, no, it's not just like, oh, yeah, let's go out there. Like, you know, you might look at the stormtroopers of the Empire and be like, ooh, yeah, they're probably totally into whatever. These guys are like fanatically all about their dumb bullshit.
Well, I mostly think about all the villains we've encountered before. The Ferrario, the Beldorion the Hutt, where you're like, oh, this guy's in charge of a private army, but he'd betray them for a nickel in an instant. He doesn't give a shit about his army in the slightest. Same thing with what's his face from the Hethrir, who's like, he was just killing his own people for, like, slightly displeasing him and stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's like, look, the only thing I'm here to do is get more force power.
I'm here to do what's best for Hethrir.
Yeah.
But these guys are straight up walking the walk.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, we do everything for the glory of the Yuuzhan Vong. And that's not just bullshit. Like, literally everyone is.
Yeah. Every single one of them is 100% on board. Anyway, eventually, the floor bubbles up, and in is deposited a guy.
He throws in a dude. Dagara comes in. He's like, hello, Denny. It's time for us to talk again about the glory of the Braidorite Vong.
And she's like, wow, you've learned English really well while you've been gone. And he points to a gross thing in his ear.
He's like, I've got a little earworm.
We have such cool shit.
You doubt our power? Look at this shit. Little worm, eh?
Isn't it neat?
Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the Praetorite?
I've got ooglets and maskers aplenty. Nullis and Grullinches galore.
You want Phillips? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more.
Yeah.
I want to be where the humans are. I want to see them dying.
Well, that happened all of a sudden.
Sorry about that. That's just the spirit took me over.
Yep, that's going to happen every once in a while. It's because we're living our best lives here. We're giving 110%.
And fucking the one thing that Dagara really wants to drive home is he just looks at the dude that he dropped in and then looks at Danny, goes, he is not worthy.
Yeah,
like, Danny, you're worthy because you got a recommendation from Yeoman Carr.
Yeah.
This dude, not worthy.
Which is weird because how's that fair? The only difference between the two of them is that Danny Key met a Vong once.
Yeah.
This guy didn't get the chance to meet any Vongs.
But that's like basically all he does. He goes in there and he's like, yo, what up? We caught this dude. He's not worthy. Peace out. By the way, Praetorite Vong, too good. Think about it. Think about the offer.
We'll get you eventually.
Just jumps back into the water and is out.
Yep. Well, eventually our dude, who is completely unidentifiable because he's just wearing a pair of underwear.
Yeah. Well, she's like, oh man, this guy's going to get eaten by a Yamask and I guess chewed up with his one big dumb tooth.
Well, we find out that he's only got a big visible front tooth, and there's a whole bunch more teeth behind it that are smaller.
But at this point, she doesn't know that. She's like, guy's going to get stabbed.
She almost does, because the Vong, because they offered her to the Yamask at one point.
They're like, hey, Yamask, you want this? And he's like, nah.
No.
She'll be useful for other things.
She's good for sales.
She's got the right assets for sales, if you will. Yamask.
One big tooth.
Yes, she has one big tooth. It's great for sales.
So the Yamask has been introduced to her and been like, hey, this lady should be converted to Vong.
Yeah. She'll be useful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to eat her.
Let's keep her around so we can brag about our cool shit at her so that we have a great way to do that for the book.
Oh, yeah. And apparently Dagara was like, ooh, that's a great honor. The Yamask didn't just chew your face off. Good job.
Hey, great for you. Now, if you want to take a tour of the weird nonsense I have.
Okay, now, how many essential oils can I put you down for?
Look at this. It's a Dovin Basil, or as we call it here around the office, a dingle hopper. Eventually, Miko wakes up and...
Then we find out it's Miko.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The dude wakes up and we find out indeed that it's Miko.
Yeah.
The little raccoon from Pocahontas.
Indeed. The little raccoon from Pocahontas is here, and now it's time for another Disney song.
I mean, literally, in the end of this chapter, Flit's going to show up, so why not?
Ugh. So, yeah, she is like, yo, what happened? He's like, oh, we fought a whole bunch of weird rock ships. And she's like, oh, yeah, the coral skippers.
Yeah.
I know what those are because Dagara will not shut up about his stuff.
Yeah, and then they knocked me unconscious, and when I woke up, I got a really bad headache, and I'm seeing colors. In fact, I'm seeing all the colors of the wind. So you look mad at me. Is everything okay?
No, everything's great.
All right, great. You're lining something up.
No, it's just that, you know, he has like basically ridiculous injuries at this point. Like, he's barely able to get a sentence out.
Yeah, he's very
like,
beat up.
Yeah, we came to find you. Who's we? The Dozen and Two Avengers? That's a dumb name.
That's great. Yeah, he's like, the Dozen and Two Avengers. The what? That sounds stupid.
What? I've never heard of that, and that's stupid.
Aw,
you've never heard of us, and we are stupid.
It sucks.
Anyway, I'm a Jedi. Oh, shit, a Jedi? Fuck, yes.
That's great.
That's all I needed. And he's like, yeah, don't worry. I'll get us out of here. I got a plan. If we can just get around the riverbend.
Now let's... I am a Jedi. See how I glitter?
All right, now here's my plan. We've got to dig, boys.
He's not just Pocahontas. He's every Pocahontas song. We have to warn people about these Yuuzhan Vong. They're different from us.
They're thus barbarians. They
must be, that means they must be evil. All right, I think we can this little
Praetorite, barely even human.
Oh God.
Anyway,
it's a good thing he's doomed because we're gonna run out of Pocahontas material real fast. So anyway, he's like, no, I'm a Jedi. Once I get my bearings and kind of get myself together, we're gonna escape. And she's like, the walls are 100 meters thick and made of ice, and we're in the core of a water planet.
You know, and of course the planet is crawling with these dudes.
Mm-hmm. The only parts of the plant that aren't negative 50 degrees Celsius are Vong stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But he's like, all right, hold on. I got to go into a meditative trance and call out with my brain meats to the other Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, is that going to work? I don't know.
I think my favorite part of this is when he just talks over her, where she's like, oh, by the way, these people are from another galaxy.
And he's like,
that's impossible. And she's like,
I'm sorry. You're a lady. Can you please calm down?
You're hysterical, ma'am.
Ooh, is it that time of the month where you think people are from other galaxies?
But she's like, no, stupid. I watched them come in from another galaxy. Belkadan, I'm from Xcal 4. It's a place that
I'm
watches...
I'm a goddamned scientist, man.
My whole job is to see if things live in other galaxies.
Back off, Jedi. I'm a scientist. Yeah. What are they doing here? The Yuuzhan Vong want it all. Don't care how. They want it now.
Oh, come on now. She's all Little Mermaid jokes.
I can't not do it.
Come back to me when you got a Le Poisson joke ready for it.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, well, even if they are invaders, there's just one ship. We'll beat the shit out of them. He's like,
I like the part where he's like, they were super easy to blow up. We were totally winning. And she goes, until you lost.
Yeah. Well, they had the ability to strip our shields. No fair.
Yeah, they have the ability to strip your shields. They didn't lose that when you lost.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, we were winning and then, oh, some random event happens. You were winning until they went, let's win.
Yeah, I like that she is very, very pragmatic about this whole situation. She's like, look, if you go get a bunch of Republic troops and show up, it's going to look like they're winning, but these dudes know way more about us than we know about them, and they have tricks for everything.
They're like, they have these weird fucking monsters that do shit we have no idea how to counter.
And they've been studying us for a while.
Yeah, we know fuck all about them, and they know way too much about us.
Yeah, what we need is a situation where someone ignores them entirely and just blows up the whole star system they're in. If only there was a genocidal maniac with a ship powerful enough to blow up the sun here.
If only some amazing hero could come by and just destroy trillions of lives.
Who's got a sun crusher when you really need one? And Miko's like,
ugh.
Stupid.
Kipped Ron.
He's probably dead.
Then we get, they are like, okay, we got to make a plan. And then we skip to Dagara and Nominor talking, where Dagara has to be like, oh, hey, so some dudes found us.
Well, I'm glad to see this scene happen, because up until now, I was a little unclear on which one was in charge between Nominor and Dagara.
I mean, neither. They're technically supposed to be equals.
Yeah, and they're doing two different things, but it seems like... like, Nominor's got the power in this particular conversation.
Well, yeah, because Dagara fucked up. He's like, yeah. Someone found us.
Yeah.
And so Nominor's like, I haven't fucked up my job. You fucked up yours. You lost glory. Ha ha.
Oh, right. I'm going to complain to all the gods about you. It's every conversation between Vaughn takes hours.
I got two
hours.
More glory points than you.
I'm level 7.
Yeah.
I'm already
in my... you leveled up without me?
Oh, fucking hell. And you're already in your prestige class? Gah.
Oh, you got a mountain. I still need 20 more gold for it.
Oh, no, but Nominor's like, all right, well, let's run through this. How did you get discovered? We have no idea. We think it's just random.
Yeah, we think they randomly came in, but we shot all of them down except for two, which we had to unleash the, what the fuck, Grutchen.
The Grutchen, which, by the way, that's just a Pokemon.
Yeah, we unleashed Grutchen at them, and it used its Hyper Beam and definitely beat them.
It was definitely super effective. So he's like, you let Grutchen out, you idiot. And then we have a whole thing where it's like Grutchen, the space bugs.
The space bugs are not tamed like everything else they have.
They're
just like a bioweapon you shit out and it destroys anything it gets near.
I like the idea that, like, say, for example, let's just pick one of their things. The Vilip is a tamed animal.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this? Oh, it's a tamed animal. So does that mean it, when it's not being your face or a football, like, it's just sort of a dog? Like, it's just... because it's there? It's sessile.
You've been keeping it inside of, like, a box.
That's like saying a pet rock is tamed.
Yeah,
Plant that you have.
Like, I understand that they're like, oh, we can give commands to things or do motions, and it'll do what we want it to. But the Grutchen aren't like that. We can't just be like, hey, Grutchen, go over here. As soon as we release them, they just do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah,
they want to do is destroy vehicles.
At least at this specific point, I haven't really seen evidence of a creature that's tamed, as opposed to purpose-bred to do one thing.
Eh.
Like even the Yamask is like, okay, I guess that thing might be tamed. But no, every once in a while, it goes a little nuts and eats a bunch of Eugene Vaughn.
Well, sometimes it gets a little hungry.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, he's like, you let Grutchen out, you idiot. If they discover Grutchen, that's a real problem for us.
So
which Grutchen got out? I'm afraid it was Grutchen Carlson.
So yeah, they have a little discussion about, like, okay, we had to essentially destroy all of the Grutchen that we released.
Yeah, you can't put Grutchen back in the bottle, apparently.
Yeah. Once they're out, they just do whatever they're going to do, and they're like...
And they'll happily eat ships that the Eugene Vong own as well. They're, like, not worried about the numbers, because I guess Grutchen love to fuck, but...
They don't have a queen.
So they can't.
They're like, they can't reproduce out there, so we don't have to worry about, like, oh, a mated pair or something got out.
Yeah.
They need a queen. So the ones we released, it's not like it's going to grow.
No, but they
what
will
might
hang
happen
around.
Is they attack some ship, and it draws attention to us.
Or they'll also hang around and fuck up Eugene Vong ships.
So they're like, all right, well, we killed all the ones we could. A couple might have gotten away because they're so ridiculously fast, apparently.
Also because some of them left to hyperspace with the two ships.
Yeah.
We're sure that we got the A-Wing. We're not sure we got the other one, but it did have Grutchen on it, so it's probably fine, basically what it comes down to.
So then they start going on to the, like, all right, great. Anyway, you got a Jedi? You've been breaking him?
Oh, that's so annoying. They have this whole thing where they're like, ah, yes, the Eugene Vong way is mental torture.
Yes, we'll make him believe he is unworthy, that he's a real piece of shit.
Basically, we'll be a bad boyfriend for a long time.
We're just going to really gaslight this Jedi. To what end?
Well, they're basically trying to discover the mental limits of the Jedi.
Yeah, they're like, all right, let's just see how far we can push this one Jedi before he breaks.
Yeah. Oh, eventually he'll be reduced to a sobbing pile of misery on the floor.
Oh, we will measure his willpower, Executor. We will measure it so carefully.
We'll turn him from Jedi to leave Brittany alone guy. It'll be a disgusting process.
Oh, we're going to turn this Jedi into a hot mess.
So yeah, that's what all the "this guy's unworthy" shit is all about.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, we're just gonna fuck with this dude's brain a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And they go back to the whole, like, so about the ships that escaped, they didn't escape, they had bugs on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, whatever.
When does the rest of the fleet show up?
Like, you know, even if they did die, they may have shot out, like, a warning beacon that the bugs didn't get.
Right, so at this point, we really need to shore up our defenses. When will the rest of the fleet be here?
Okay, well, one of the world ships is showing up today. Another one is going to be here tomorrow. So we got dudes coming. Don't you worry.
Everything's fine.
Like, we got... our Yamask has his weird energy barrier in place. We got coral skippers aplenty.
Mm-hmm.
We are ready to fuck dudes up.
Mm-hmm. Our Yamask is safely ensconced at the center of the ocean planet. He's better down where it's wetter.
Yep.
Take it from me.
Dagara.
Okay, so yeah, that's what happens there.
Yeah.
I don't really... This conversation kind of peters out.
Yeah, they just kind of go like, all right, great. So, go fucking get ready for them and break that dude and
yeah.
I guess just enjoy breaking a Jedi.
Yeah, have fun with that. By the way, at this point, we also get to establish that these dudes are basically immune to Jedi.
Well, we establish that in the next scene.
Yeah, because we're going to go back to Key
Danny
and Miko.
And Miko.
Miko and Danny. Who are plotting their escape. And then, sure enough, while they're hanging around being ready, the floor bubbles up and in comes a bunch of guards.
Yeah, we get three dudes show up. Miko, like, kicks one in the face as he's coming up and knocks him back down to the water.
And pushes the other two over at the same time, and then they kind of jump them.
Yeah, so Danny's fighting one of them.
Yeah.
And Miko ends up having to fight, like, two.
This isn't a good showing for the Yuuzhan Vong, that these two injured naked people take out three of their soldiers.
Well, I mean, so we get, like, Miko advantage. Manages to neck chop one of them in the throat, so mm-hmm. he pretty much only has to deal with one. But he is, like, unarmed against a dude with a spear, just slapping the spear away.
Yeah, no, he's using his Jedi battle trance and so on. At one point, he realizes he's kind of losing, so he tries to read his opponent's mind to see if he can, like, get some insights into how he fights.
Yeah, he's like, I've been doing the whole Force thing to predict, like, what the moves will be, but... maybe I can get a read on the dude himself, and there is nothing.
Yeah, these dudes do not have Jedi-accessible brains.
Yeah, they are just blank space to the Force.
Yeah, so anyway, he eventually does win the fight through some cool martial arts descriptions of, like, taking the spear away from
Yuuzhan
Vong.
I mean, they basically fight over the spear like it's a fucking Jackie Chan set piece mm-hmm. where they're both grabbing on it and spinning it.
Yeah, and then he reverses which direction he's pushing at it and conks the dude on the head.
Yeah. So they manage to do that. Danny even manages to take out the Vong that she is fighting.
Well, yeah, she's very worthy. Which, by the way, when the two Vong are fighting Miko, they keep saying unworthy while they're fighting him.
Unworthy! Unworthy!
Like, while they're losing and so on. All part of the hazing process.
Yep.
So they beat up these guards, take their Ooglith cloakers and their starfish things, and they put them on, and wouldn't you know it, even they get an orgasmic rush of ecstasy and pleasure.
The fact that he used that description again, where it was like, ooh, that exquisite pain. I'm like, no, these aren't Vong. Don't write
yeah,
like
they,
that.
They aren't into this. These are a couple of humans.
Don't. I mean... it's maybe one of them is into a little bit, but they're probably not.
It's weird that both of these humans are also pain sluts. But yeah, he's like, with an orgasmic rush of tiny pain tingles, they put on the Ooglith cloakers.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
Please do not describe it as little flickets of exquisite agony.
Yeah. Anyway, once they get their equipment on and the starfish things down their throats, they start doing their escape.
Yeah.
Which, even then, when they're alone and there are no Vong around, they're still stopping to be like, wow, Vong bioarchitecture was truly a work of genius.
Look at this big worm that we have to go up.
These people are indeed our superiors and supermen.
This thing has ribs that are like stairs.
Who could have thought of that? This is so great. I love the Yuuzhan. I'm going to sign up.
You know what? You sold me.
Uh-huh.
It was the worm that did it.
It was the worm. The worm was what sold me. All these other goops are just gravy.
Oh, you're going to love the goop that is gravy. Oh, our gravy goop is the best. Also packed with protein and available for only $29.95. It's got real meaty gibbets, and it comes in a powdered form. It's all the protein you need for a whole day. It's brain food. It's made of brain. Packed with vitamin R.
R?
R. We have special pirate vitamins.
So they get up and they're sneaking around the world ship. They're like, ooh, yeah, let's go find, I don't know, maybe a coral skipper and see if I can pilot a meteor.
That's their basic plan, is to try and steal some technology and escape. But unfortunately, when they get to the top of the stairs worm,
Dagara's just there and he's like, oh, you won't need your Nullith here.
I'm glad
the Nullith is the starfish.
We finally get the name for the starfish, the Nullith.
Yep. And that's a GN, so Gnullith.
Mm-hmm. The Gnulliths. And there's no description of them removing them. I like to think that Danny Key's like, no, fuck you. I'm going to keep this thing in case I ever get away with escaping.
Well, yeah, because he's like, oh, don't worry. The world ship produces its own atmosphere. And they're like, yeah,
oh, quit bragging, for Christ's sake.
And then he's like, oh, it took you longer than I had expected. Yes.
I sent my three chumpiest warriors.
I mean, I have to assume.
Yeah. Because
this was all part of the plan to break him.
Yep, it's all part of the Miko break. But, I mean, does that mean he's keeping chumpy warriors around for breaking random Jedi he might meet?
I mean,
you'd think he'd be like, all right, let's every couple of weeks.
He was like, all right, you three, act like idiots.
Yeah, that might be it. Don't worry, I think they won't kill you. Because they don't kill them. They just keep conking them on the noggin to knock them unconscious again while they're taking their clothes.
Oh, yeah. There's when they're talking about, like, all right, and they get the cloaker, and they've got the starfish thing, and every time someone wings up, they're like, and donk, all right, and then another guy wakes up, and donk.
Yeah, they're just playing whack-a-mole. Just fucking kill them. They're not good people.
These are ridiculous murder invaders from another galaxy. Maybe take a couple out.
Just put an end to them. Jeez.
Okay, so
drown them. There's water right there.
So Dagara and Miko have a fight that is basically Dagara throws a big pile of sentient goo.
Yeah, Dagara turns out to have one each of his purpose-driven bat shark repellent type goofy gizmos in each hand. So with one hand, he throws some goop on the ground in front of Miko, and with the other hand, he releases a deadly hummingbird.
Yeah, there's some ball that flies out and just...
It's the fucking Golden Snitch. It's a little ball with wings on it that can fly around super fast.
Yeah, and it just flies into Danny and knocks her down.
Yeah, it flies into her fast enough to knock the wind out of her and break one of her ribs.
And the goo is like sentient tar, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It just chases after Miko, and as soon as it gets on him, it just sticks to him and holds him in place.
Yeah, it constricts real hard, so it just sort of locks him down to the floor.
Yeah,
and
so
he's like, I expected you to make it past my goo. Truly, you are unworthy.
Oh, so unworthy.
In fact, I've decided you're unworthy enough that now it's time to feed you to the Yamask.
Oh, Yamask time.
I'm like, wasn't this going to be a long process? What are we doing here?
Well, that was also part of the process, is to
fake feed him to the Yamask.
Take him to the Yamask, because the Yamask is all psychic and shit.
Yeah, it won't actually eat him.
Yeah, they're just going to terrify the shit out of him.
Yeah, well, anyway, he's like, okay, now we're going to feed you to the Yamask. You, random smunderling.
Smunderling.
Yeah, because he's a smoldery underling.
Some underling.
Yeah.
Smunderling.
You, smunderling. Contact.
That's me. I'm smunderling. the great Yuuzhan Vong. I love pain. Have you seen my tattoos and fucked up nose?
There's not enough apostrophes in his name. We'd have to put one between Dur and Ling, I think.
Smunderling.
Oh, Smunderling.
So Smunderling, he is instructed to go contact, what's her name? Prefect?
Mahira?
Mashrabe or something like
that? Mashrade.
Mashrade.
Mashrade?
Yeah. go let Prefect Mashrade know we're about to murder this guy. She's into that sort of thing.
And Mashrade is the Dagara of the other world ship.
The one that's arriving today. And indeed, as he's making this dramatic pronunciation, he indicates that Danny should look out the window. And when she does, she sees all the stars of the sky, and one of them is getting closer, because it's another fat, flappy octopus spaceship unfolding so it can splat down on the planet.
Yep. And this one is Jimmy jam-packed with like fighters.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of soldier mans in it.
Because the other one was like, oh yeah, this is just sort of our base of operations. We need
it's a setup team.
Engineers, we need dudes who will actually like pilot and do things. The second world ship is just fighters.
Yeah, the first one was nothing but Zerglings and a couple of overmines.
But now.
Now they're bringing in all their Hydralisks. Yeah. They bring in too many Hydralisks and they're going to get one of those Spawnbore overlords.
Unfortunately, Danny Key did not construct additional pylons.
I know. If she had just constructed additional pylons, she wouldn't be having this problem.
So we get the Yuuzhan Vong pep rally now.
Oh, yeah. This is the part where she's like, God damn, these people are really into their shit.
Yeah, because all of the people from Dagara's ship are on, like, wriggly organic bleachers?
Yes, well, the Yamask burps up a big bubble, and they all go in the Yamask bubble burp, and there's bleachers in there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weird living bleachers that they stand on.
Uh-huh.
And Dagara is standing on some sort of stage being like, oh, glory this and glory that, and we shall glory, glory.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Like, he has like an hour-long presentation to each one of several gods.
Yeah, and at that point he's like, now that we've done 2 hours of talking about how great all of our gods are, may I introduce Mushraid?
It's finally time to roast Jim Carrey.
So Mushraid comes in and she has an ass load of warriors with her.
Yeah, she basically comes in. She's the Jeffrey Ross of these people. Walks right up to the stage and is like, Jim Carrey is also known as the rubber-faced man. I wish his dad had worn a rubber. Thank you. Good night. Thank you. We love him. We make fun of him because we love him.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's enough. I did my thing.
Yeah, it's good.
I did my bit.
You did your bit. Thank you.
I had to get another bit in ever since you were really mad at me about the L7 one. I mean, that was gold, Jerry. Gold. I had a breeder's one lined up. You knocked the wind right out of my sails.
Right out of it.
God damn it.
Anyway, so not only has the Yamask burped out a oxygen bubble for these people, but then it's also kind of acting as a loudspeaker slash translator?
Yeah, Yamask is powerfully psychic, and therefore it can communicate telepathically. No mention of the Force, it's just also a powerful different kind of telepath. They have their own telepaths.
It's just a psychic, and when Dagara's talking, it is broadcasting that to everyone, including Danny, and she's like, I don't speak the language, but it's sort of translating for me.
It's fun because she goes from, what is this? They're speaking Vong? What? Oh, wait. I get this now. I understand. I listen.
Aw. She's the dozen plus one warrior.
Very good. No one's going to get any of that. Okay.
Yeah, so then they bring out fucking Miko, and they're like, now for the main event.
I think my favorite part was when the second worm tunnel came down to deposit Mushraib and her soldiers, and she got up on stage and just did 2 more hours of God stuff.
Yeah.
And the whole time, Danny was like, wow, no one is bored.
No one here is going like,
no one is looking down at their phone quietly, nothing.
No.
Every one of them.
Just 100%. Enraptured with this. They're like, wow, yeah, I am on board.
Yay, I'll do whatever. And sure enough, they drag Miko out in front of the mighty Yamask.
And they're like, here you go, Yamask. Munch away.
And you're like, aren't they feeding this thing all the time? I mean, it's huge. It's got to eat constantly.
But you don't know that.
I guess that's true. I do not know that. But anyway, the Yamask grabs a hold of Miko and starts dragging him in. And Miko's like, I can't close my eyes. I can't look away.
Oh, yeah.
I have to face my death like a true Jedi.
Even Danny is like, oh, I'm getting just like waves of terror and like everything is coming off of this Yamask. But it's not the Yamask who is afraid. He's trying to project this into Miko to break him. So as he is dragging Miko towards his big dumb mouth with a single tooth, and then it turns out he's got like rows and rows of little teeth inside of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. He's basically cheating. He's using psychic power to force fear into Miko. And I'm going to call bullshit on this. If the force works, doesn't work on these fucking guys, then their stupid psychic shouldn't work on force guys.
Yeah, but it does because they're the Vong.
Oh, so cheaty.
Ugh. But yeah, they're like, oh no, I am filled with horrible terror, and I cannot even look away because the Yamask will not let me.
And indeed, that's the end.
Yeah, he just gets dragged in, and Degara is mostly just like, man, I can't wait until this dude starts screaming and pissing himself. This is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, so that's where the chapter ends. We have no idea what actually happens to Miko.
Yep, we don't know if he got et or if he got broke or if he was like, I resist your shit, my dude.
Yeah. But tune in next week for the exciting conclusion. Actually, it's just...
I mean, no. We've got like another half of a book
here.
Yeah,
there's plenty more to go. I just wanted to say something exciting. How about if I just said the next thrilling tale?
There you go.
Yeah. Tune in next week for the next thrilling tale of Miko or...
Superman's pal.
So yeah, that's the end of the couple of chapters that we're doing today. Lots of shit going on, but still not a whole lot with our main characters.
Yeah, I mean...
Real shame. I was kind of hoping they'd be involved by now and doing cool shit and stuff.
At least they've been doing something.
Yeah, that's true. Almost doing something. I mean, like, we've established a lot of interesting arguments and so on between them. Where
I mean...
Jason's got his trouble with Anakin and...
If this was any other book, they would have been on Dubrillion until chapter 20.
Yeah.
Like,
at least they would have
just sat there.
Yeah, at least indeed they are leaving. I assume this means we're going to get a fight between Luke and Yeoman Carr, which doesn't sound all that exciting to me.
No.
I mean, Yeoman Carr's very good at what he does, and what he does is kill unsuspecting scientists.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, I'm the best there is at what I do, and what I do is kill off people that aren't expecting it and are also not soldiers.
Yeah, but Luke's just gonna make mincemeat out of that guy.
But I mean, it's Luke and Mara, which means they're gonna show up and be like, hey, we're ridiculously badass, what are you even gonna try?
And he's like, haha, your force won't work on me.
Like,
and
all right, like, oh, well, lightsabers just cut you then. In half, I guess.
Yeah, all right, well, let's see what you do when you're two parts of a guy.
Oh,
the delicious pain.
No, oh, I love it. And now for one of my gross things to get on the bottom half of me and be my new legs.
I hope so. I hope he pulls a Darth Maul. All right, well, there you have it. Thank you so much for listening to chapters 13 and 14 of this book. We'll see you in a week with yet more. But if you can't wait a whole week for more content...
A whole goddamn week.
Well, worry you not, my friend, because we have bonus content you can get as well by going to patreon.com/systemmastery and supporting us at the $2 level.
That's right. We deep dive into Wikipedia with all of the lovely, weird... wacky wild stuff that you can find there on the Star Wars expanded universe nonsense.
Yep, last week we did some great stuff about Irek Ismaren, otherwise known as Too Many Lightsabers Guy.
Oh yeah.
And also covered the fact that Coca-Cola is Star Wars canon.
Mm-hmm.
As is Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse.
All canon
things in the Star Wars universe. So we're going to go back for more, and if you want to be a part of that, just support us at the $2 level. It's cheap. Come on. You get like 4 episodes a month out of that.
Yep.
Plus like 2 more System Mastery bonus content episodes. It's a good deal.
And you get to feel better about yourself knowing that you're supporting local artists.
Local to San Diego.
Local to Earth.
Local to Earth, yeah. Local time to us.
You're out there helping the struggling independent business people. Hmm? We're no Walmart. We're no Amazon. We're no Adventure Zone.
No, it's true. We are no slightly large or way larger than us podcast.
Yeah.
We're no Critical Role, I guess.
We're no Chapo Trap House.
Thank
or
God.
Come Town.
Double thank God. I mean, we could be. We'd be like, this Republican, I don't care for him. And this liberal, he's not liberal enough.
Yay.
Come.
I'm just imagining the YouTube poop again. Come! Come!
Give myself a promotion! Okay, well, anyway, thank you so much for your support, but definitely get on board that $2 level. My daughter needs shoes. Thank you. We'll see you in a week with yet more. And until that time, I've been Elan Sleazebagiano.
And I've smoked 12 death sticks!